It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds, it's Monday the 3rd of October 2022. This is for professional investors only and never ever investment advice. I'm going to start today with three quotes that I think are quite relevant to what's been going on in markets at the moment. The first one from the market's friend Vladimir Ilyich Lenin: there are decades where nothing happens and there are weeks where decades happen. Secondly, we've got Ernest Hemingway from The Sun Always Rises, quote from one of the characters there talking to another: how did you go bankrupt? Two ways, says the other: gradually, then suddenly. And finally, from The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald: they were careless people, Tom and Daisy. They smashed up things and creatures and then retreated back into their money or their vast carelessness or whatever it was that kept them together and let other people clean up the mess that they had made. Okay, things do remain broken in financial markets at the moment, although the first attempts to clean up the mess in the UK were made this morning as Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng did a U-turn on that 45 pence tax rate elimination decision that came in the mini-budget. They've got the party conference at the moment, but there was a rising expectation as you saw people like Michael Gove and Grant Shapps come out against the 45p rate, which is seen as the most unfair bit of the mini budget by even members of the Conservative Party. There was a real risk, I think, that they were going to lose that vote if it came to it, and so it was too risky to continue with that. So that's gone. I mean, it wasn't the major bit of the unfunded tax cuts. It was probably only worth a couple of billion pounds a year. But certainly it was the bit that was most controversial, the bit that got the headlines and probably sent the gilt market and currency markets down initially. So it was controversial even within their own party. What's that done to markets today? Well, sterling is back at the 112 level-ish around versus the US dollar. And that's pretty much where it was before that disastrous mini-budget sent it down to a record low against the US dollar of 103.5 or something like that. Other things that are back where they were before the mini-budget is really the long end of the gilt market and the index-linked market too. So we look at a 30-year index-linked gilt, for instance. And immediately before the mini-budget, the 0.125, the 0.125% 2051 index-linked gilt was trading at a price of around about 103. It had been up at 180 in April, so it's been on long decline for a while, and partly that was driven by LDI already, but the big change came with that big move in bond yields higher, led to forced selling of long dated assets, and so from immediately before the mini budget, 103, it fell down to 60, so over a 40% fall in price. We're now back up to pretty much exactly 100 again. We're slightly below that now. It had started the day higher, but it's now down a little bit. But you know, effectively a complete round trip in the price of long dated index linked gilts. The same is true for conventional gilts. So if we look at 30 year nominal gilts, their yield went from 3.85 before the mini budget to 5%, and then back down today to 3.85. So a big round trip in gilt prices, and a lot of pain caused in that interim process. We don't yet know what the implications are, whether pension funds just had a collateral issue, and once they'd raised that collateral will now be passed back and everything's back to normal, or whether some pension funds got stopped out and had to close out hedges and so forth during that moment of extreme stress that we saw last week. Those two or three days where it was particularly extreme. So we don't quite know what the long-term impact will be, or whether this was just a blip that's been completely reversed. But there are stories today in the financial press about losses at one particular investment bank as a result of these moves in the gilt market over the course of last week. And I think it's these risks around financial stability that have been raised a lot over the past week. They go beyond probably just the LDI stuff that's going on. There's other stories and headlines and rumours over the weekend, especially on Twitter, around other European investment banks. I guess in the spotlight particularly is Credit Suisse today. It's going to announce its restructuring plan, which might include splitting into a good bank, bad bank, like banks did during the GFC, the global financial crisis back in the day. But whatever, that's coming out later at the end of October. And the share price is down, I think, 8% today. The CEO's been out talking about that, trying to restore some confidence. But it's not just Credit Suisse, it's a general widening in financial risk. So Credit Suisse CDS is out at 250 basis points today. But we're also seeing some similar shaped moves in other European banks, you know, just to name two, Deutsche Bank, UBS, widening in the same sorts of patterns, which suggests this is kind of not just about individual banks, but a general worry about what's going on in the world, and rightly so, I guess, at the moment. Credit in generally has been incredibly busy. So last week, just reading brokers' weekend roundups of stuff they did last week in terms of trades in the market, at least two or three are reporting it was their record week for volumes, and these are the bigger investment banks, their record week for corporate bonds turnover in Europe. So lots going on, most of it driven by that LDI shock, that if you want to read about that or listen to it, go back into the last couple of podcasts in this series. But we can see that long credit last week was about 15 basis points to 30 basis points wider. Good names, weaker names, wider than the good names, obviously. And at the short end, 40, 60, even 80 basis points wider. And at times of stress, these were much wider than that too. Hybrids, these are the kind of subordinated bonds issued by corporates generally. They're about 4 points lower in price. And 81s, which are the deeply subordinated equity-like bonds issued by banks and financial services companies, they're off about 5 points over the week. So very much a risk-off move. Remember, what was going on last week was that pension funds were facing losses, mark-to-market losses on their LDI swaps, their long-duration interest rate assets, and to raise collateral to pay to collateralize those losses effectively. They're having to sell stuff, and you know, they're selling physical gilts, raising cash, and one casualty of that was that they're probably having to go to other fund managers and ask them to sell corporate bonds to raise some cash for them. So you know, these were assets that they knew would be less liquid, and if you look down, you know, the widening at the short end is more than it was at the long end, because the short-end bonds are perceived to be more liquid than the long-end bonds, and so there was more selling there. And remember that a 60 basis point move in short, you know, a two-year bond doesn't really move the dial very much in price terms because of the duration effect, whereas a 30 basis point move at the long end might be worth several points of capital movement. So, you know, the spread move was bigger at the short end, but the price move was bigger at the long end. So that people were selling stuff that they regarded as more liquid, where they wouldn't take so big capital losses. So expected to be another very volatile week, lots going on, lots of politics. And it's worth mentioning that what we've seen in the UK, which I guess is a story of fiscal policy versus monetary policy to some extent. This is a story of the government wanting to deliver a fiscal stimulus, some sugar rush to the economy to stimulate some growth at a time of high inflation, where the central bank is going to tighten monetary policy. And so we had, as we saw last week at the Bank of England, coming out very quickly, and Hugh Pill, the chief economist, saying, you know, the result of what the government's done in fiscal policy will mean that we're going to have to be more aggressive in monetary policy. And this kind of offsetting policies is obviously dangerous, causes friction, causes uncertainty in markets and so forth, but it probably won't end up being just a UK phenomenon. Germany, for instance, before the weekend, did what they call, you know, a double whammy of a huge amount of energy price subsidies for both households and companies that are going to equal about 200 billion euros in size. So absolutely massive. At the same time, obviously, that the ECB is hiking interest rates and will hike interest rates aggressively because of record levels of Eurozone inflation. So these tensions that bond markets hate, that currency markets hate, that investors hate between your central bankers and your treasury officials or finance department officials are going to become not just the UK story, but a global story potentially at the moment. For a long time, we've had monetary policy and fiscal policy working together in tandem rather than working against each other. And that raises a lot of risks for people. Final thing to mention today before we go is that the yen is back up above 145 to the US dollar. Remember, that's the level where the Japanese Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, intervened to try and strengthen its currency. We're not seeing any intervention today, though, and I think people are quite sceptical that the Bank of Japan on its own has the firepower to do very much in order to move the dial. And, you know, we are starting to see people say, is it time for a new Plaza record? Plaza record 1985, again, we mentioned it in previous podcast, a big accord, big agreement in New York between all the big developed market economies to try and weaken the dollar because of the damage that a strong dollar was doing to the global economy. And, you know, there is some talk that perhaps we need another mini Plaza record right now. All right, catch you later. Bye.